Congratulations on getting to your 9 to 5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be here with you. Rob is here as well. Salute to you that are watching this on YouTube, Twitch, Twitter. I don't know where you're watching it at, but we appreciate wherever you are watching it at. We appreciate those of you that are listening on 96.5, also 610 AM. We still broadcast over there. Maybe you're listening to this later today on the podcast page. However you consume the show, I want you to know that you are appreciated. So we'll get to the hits here in a bit, but we've been talking about this all day, and I want to play it for those of you that are just listening now for the 5 o'clock audience. Right now, the Royals are in the same spot that Rocky was in the third movie. You remember, Rocky and Rocky II just came off the big win. You beat Apollo Creed. You were feeling good. You're the heavyweight champion of the world. Well, Rocky III starts. Things ain't going so hot for Rock. There's this young up-and-comer who's just beating everybody up. Rocky also got beat up. He got beat up. Mick died. And Rock had to go to L.A. He was struggling when he was in L.A. He really was. Paulie couldn't help him. Adrian couldn't help him. Hell, Apollo couldn't even help him. But eventually, you know what Rock had to do? He had to find the Eye of the Tiger. He found the Eye of the Tiger, and he was able to beat Clubber Lang in the third movie. But along the way, he needed some pep talks from his friends. You remember they had that race on the beach where it looked like Rocky was running in slow motion. It was so bad. Apollo Creed turned around, was running backwards and still beat Rocky. It was bad. Then they were having a sparring session, and Apollo Creed was teeing off on Rocky, and he gave him this motivational speech.
Damn, Rock, come on! What's the matter with you?
Tomorrow. Let's do it tomorrow.
There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow!
That's what I feel like we need to do right now for the Royals. We need to give them that motivational speech and let them know that there is no tomorrow. The Royals are in one of the biggest fights that we have ever seen them in. Certainly if you are under the age of 40. Now, those of you that are over 40, you remember the 70s and the 80s and the games against the Yankees. That is not what this team has been in my lifetime. They didn't really have to fight in 2014 until they made the postseason. 2015, I mean, it was a fight in the first 30 games because they were fighting everybody else, but they cruised to the postseason. This is a legitimate everyday scoreboard watch situation. We haven't had many of those in Kansas City. You need to worry about what you are doing. You also need to be peeking at Minnesota and keep track of what they're doing. You need to keep an eye on the Detroit Tigers, who have won 7 of their last 9 games. The Royals put themselves in this situation. The Royals are 7-15 in their last 22 games. They have made this a topic. Right now, me and you could be talking about the Royals. Or the Chiefs, excuse me. We could be talking football. We could be talking about Thursday night. We could be... No. The Royals have made this a thing. This was supposed to be easy. This was supposed to be our easy class. You know when you were looking through your electives and you signed up for that course because you didn't think it was going to be that much work. And then you ended up, you were like, wait, hold on. This class is way more intense than I thought it was going to be. That's how the last 3 weeks have been. This team had a 5.5 game lead on the Tigers 2 weeks ago. It's now down to 2. You got to take care of business. The Royals need to know that there is no tomorrow. It does not matter what the other teams do. It only matters what the Royals do. You're the team that's in the lead. You got to figure out a way to beat the Giants. We said that against the Tigers. All they needed to do was win one. They failed that objective. Well, you know what? I've handed you another quarter. You can keep playing the game. They have to figure out a way to win a series against the Giants. The Giants are not the Tigers. The Tigers have something to play for. They're right there for the postseason. The Giants, they are not. It is a 1-2-3 Cancun situation for the San Francisco Giants. They are going nowhere. These are their last 9 games of the season, and they are going home, my friends. They're under 500, and the Nationals, they're bad. The Nationals are 30 games under 500. You just got to figure out a way to win 5 of these next 9 games. You don't need to do something otherworldly. You don't need to go 8-1 down the stretch or 7-2. You don't need help really from these other teams. If you can win 5 of these next 9 games, you are making the postseason. You got the tiebreaker against the Tigers. You are making the postseason. The Tigers would have to play nearly flawless baseball these last 10 days in order to pass you. They might play it, but if they make the postseason, it will be because you have assisted in your own demise, and the Royals certainly have. This season turned when the Vinny Pasquantino injury happened. We all knew that it was going to happen, and I understand the optimism. Hey, we got, you're right, they have all of those guys. Yesterday, in a must-win game against the pitcher who was probably going to win the American League Cy Young, Robbie Grossman was their cleanup hitter yesterday. That ain't enough. It's not good enough. There is no tomorrow. There is no, oh, well, we'll get them. No, you have no more get them tomorrows. Figure out a way to win 2 of these next 3 games. If the weather holds up, and it could rain this weekend, I think they get at least 22,000 people at each of these next 3 games. These are some of the most important regular season games that Kauffman Stadium has seen since the 1985 World Series. The Royals didn't have any game like this from 1995, from the strike in 95 up until the 2014 season. They had no regular season game that was close to the level of importance they're going to have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night out of Kauffman Stadium. Figure out a way to win. We are past the point of it being a marathon. The marathon was in April. The marathon was in May. We are not at the marathon point anymore. This is a sprint. This is the 1,600 meters in the Olympics, and this is the final 200 meters. You better run your little heart out if you're trying to get the gold medal. You better push, and you better sprint down the stretch. And if you don't, you can get past. They can lose this thing very easily to either Minnesota or the Tigers if they continue what they have done for the last 3 weeks. That's hit number one, Rob. What's hit number two?
It's 5 o'clock. And your wife has tuna casserole ready for you at home. Might as well get caught up on the biggest stories of the day in Kansas City with C.Dot and Rob. This is The Hits, number one.
Well, came to the Hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Well, the top story of the day in Kansas City that doesn't have anything to do with the Kansas City Royals is the Kansas City Chiefs. The offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs met with the media today, and he was asked straight up, hey, how is Kingsley Suamataia handling a rough game against the Bengals?
He's been great. You know, like he's... when you go through that or something like that in that game, it's all about your attitude and how you handle it, and like how do you handle it the next day. It can be tough, but he's such a even though he's a young kid, he's a mature kid, and he's a fighter. So when you're a fighter, you want to try to get better each and every day, and that's what he's done all week.
Carrington, all week we've heard, you know, non-answers when it comes to the decision at left tackle. Matt Nagy was the latest one to non-answer today. Do you believe the Chiefs will have a new starting left tackle on Sunday Night Football and we could see the return of Wanye Morris?
I have admittedly flip-flopped on this thing. Let me go ahead and flip one more time. I think Kingsley is going to start. I do find it a little bit weird, a little bit odd, that they won't just come out and say it. Now, it gives you some deniability, and depending on how practice goes, you can always change your mind. But this is, both of them can't play. You have one left tackle. So I'm surprised that Andy yesterday didn't come out in this conversation. Matt Nagy had an opportunity to come out and do it today. Now, that would be the two biggest questions tomorrow for Andy Reid. Number one, is Kareem Hunt going to play in this game? Is he going to be active for this game? And the second one is, who is your starting left tackle going to be for the Chiefs? I think it's going to be Kingsley because they don't give up on rookies that quickly. And I don't think that you can bench Kingsley and then give him the job back if things go poorly for Wanye Morris. You can't do that. It's very similar to quarterback. Once you make that decision, once you replace Bryce Young with Andy Dalton, there is no going back and giving Bryce Young the job. You've made your decision. If you thought that Kingsley was worthy of the job in April. You thought he was worthy of the job in May. The whole summer, one bad game against the Bengals, and now has you changing everything? It doesn't feel like an Andy Reid thing to do to me. So I still believe that Kingsley is going to be it, but I'm surprised that they won't just announce it.
Number two.
Speaking of the Kansas City Chiefs, they will not have their starting running back on Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons. They will be going with Carson Steele. But Carrington, me and you have bickered about this ever since we got the Pacheco news. I am of the opinion it'll be running back by committee. You think Steele may be more of a feature back. You pulled some numbers today as you were perusing your favorite sports book that indicate maybe, just maybe, Vegas or the odds makers are more in lockstep with me, and that Carson Steele might be, in fact, running back by committee.
Yeah, so right now the numbers are they have the over-under on carries at 11.5. They have the rushing total at 42.5 for Carson Steele. So I looked this up because I was curious. Last week in the NFL, 35 players got at least 10 rush attempts. 28 of those players would have hit the over. They ran for more than 43 yards in the game. So to me, this is much more about volume than anything. And you can fade the music down a little bit, Rob, because I am curious to get your thoughts on this. Is your belief that this is going to be a running back by committee situation, is it more about, I guess, your belief in Samaje Perine, or is it more about your non-belief when it comes to Carson Steele? Because just looking at Samaje Perine, he's never been that kind of guy. He's never really been the 1B option. I guess you could maybe argue his first year. That was in 2017. I mean, since then, he just hasn't really been in this position where he's a guy that's going to get a lot of carries. I have kind of put him in that Jerick McKinnon role. It seems like you think he's going to have a much more expanded role now that they no longer have Isaiah Pacheco. I guess they no longer. That sounds incorrect. They're not going to have him for the next 2 months.
I don't mean to not answer. I'm trying to sidestep with this answer. But I think it's a little bit of both. But mostly for me is it's the fact that the Chiefs, 2 weeks ago when it was roster cut day, made the decision to go out and sign Perine pretty much immediately. Like, we saw that breaking news come across on like a Thursday, and the next day Samaje Perine was a member of the Chiefs, which to me indicated they might like Carson Steele, but they wanted another veteran presence in the room. They wanted the safety net of a veteran in case something like this happened. So my belief in the committee is a little bit of both, to answer your question. It's a little bit of Steele's undrafted, unproven. I think they're going to ease him in as best they can as running back one. And also, not just now, but back when they had Pacheco healthy before the season, they made a move the minute roster cutdown happened, and they added Samaje Perine. Was it for that Jerick McKinnon role? Sure, but you don't add a running back to the fold thinking, hey, in a perfect world, he never is handed the football. That's just not how the position works. So I think they have shown a little bit of lack of trust in Steele, and Perine is that answer.
You're right, but I guess at least so far in this season, and it's only two games, so I don't want to make it seem like we have some large sample size here. I
mean, it's also two games with Pacheco is healthy, too.
100%. They have not given Samaje Perine a carry so far in the season. They have thrown it to him a couple times. They have not given him a carry, and they have given Carson Steele 9 carries so far this year. So at least right now, it is very clear who running back 2 is for the Chiefs, and that player is Carson Steele. Samaje Perine, and now he has a couple of targets. He had a catch. I just think that we went from Samaje Perine being a guy with, he's not that much different than Kareem Hunt. He was just available a month ago. I just don't think he's getting 8 or 9 carries in the game. I've been pretty consistent about this part about Carson Steele. I think Carson Steele is being a little bit undervalued here because he was an undrafted player. Let's say that the Chiefs in the 5th round drafted the running back from UCLA. I think people would be through the moon for that player. We're talking about a guy who 2 years ago ran for 1,500 yards at Ball State. He then used the transfer portal, transferred to UCLA, and they ran 4,000 yards last year in maybe the best conference in college football outside of the SEC. that player to me deserves a little bit more than I'm coming in to split times with Samaje Perine. That's a guy who you give the ball to 12 to 14 times and you see what he can do. I know what Samaje Perine can do at this point. He's a guy that you maybe give it to 3 or 5 times. You throw it to him out of the backfield. Maybe he makes a big play, but I just don't think that he has the kind of explosiveness and kind of game-changing ability that Carson Steele could have in this offense. We saw a couple of big runs in the preseason. I think if you give him the ball 12 to 14 times, I think he makes a play on a couple of those touches.
I know the stats indicate that he has 0 carries. I'm not going to downplay that. Samaje Perine has 0 carries this year. But I'm going to stop saying it's just you. This show loves snap counts. It's our favorite thing. That, talking movies, and bad food takes. It's really the pillars of the show.
I don't have any bad food takes. I don't know what show you're talking about. That's not this show.
Carson Steele this season has 19 snaps. Samaje Perine has 17. Now, again, 0 carries. I'm aware that 0 carries has happened, but it's not because he's not on the field. So
they're for sure going to use him in this game.
So,
absolutely.
So I think if this season, the guy you brought in a week before the season started is getting similar snap volume to the guy that had an entire training camp and an entire preseason, which Mitch Holthus loves to tell me the value of those things. They had one guy who went through every phase of the OTAs, and they had one guy who got signed on Labor Day and showed up on Thursday, and their snap counts are near identical. I think Samaje Perine is going to get a few carries. Now, we're on the same page. I don't think he's getting 10. I think even 8 would be high, but I could see 8, 9, 10 carries from Steele, 6, 5, 6, 7 from Perine, and you're kind of, you know, 2 or 3 jet sweep type things. Maybe you see more little bubble screens that are considered passes, like a little pop passing the Chiefs like to do. You see that 2 or 3 times, and that gets to your 23, 25 run touches. But I don't think Carson Steele's rush attempts is going to be just eons further down the road than Samaje Perine's.
I do want to get back to the Royals here in just a little bit. I do have a quick wide receiver question, just talking about weapons and how to, I don't know if boost the offense is a fair term. It's just been 2 games, but we talked about how deep this room was. That was a really big point. Now, we had that conversation whenever Hollywood Brown was healthy, but I think the perception is, and I believe this as well, that the Chiefs are improved at wide receiver. So far this season, they only have 3 wide receivers that have a catch. Rashee Rice has 12 catches for 178 yards. Xavier Worthy has 4 catches for 64 yards. And Justin Watson. Justin Watson has 3 catches for 47 yards. That is it. Juju does not have a catch. He has a target. I think you would call it a drop. Maybe you would call it a pass deflection in week 1. Doesn't matter. He didn't catch it. He doesn't have a catch. They have not given the ball to Mecole Hardman. They have not given the ball to Sky Moore. I think they're going to start to need a contribution from some of those other players. At some point, the offense needs to come from somebody. You got to generate those yards. So either the answer is more Travis Kelce than they've gotten. I mean, so far, Travis Kelce has fewer yards than Justin Watson does. So either you start to get really productive Travis Kelce, which would alleviate some of the problems of you not having Isaiah Pacheco, or there is going to be more balance with the others. Noah Gray was really good in game 1. Didn't really do a whole lot in game 2. Xavier Worthy didn't get a whole lot of usage in the second game. You obviously expect that to grow over time. But we talked about how deep this room was, and we all spent time arguing about the who's going to be wide receiver 6, wide receiver 7. Right now, they only have 3 wide receivers. Mecole Hardman, he is their kick return, punt return, special teams guy. He has not gotten a carry. He has not gotten a throw. He has not gotten a target. He has been on the field for 1 offensive play so far. I don't know where Sky Moore is. Is he on the team? I forgot what Sky Moore looks like on this team. We talked about how deep this room was and how the improved depth was so better than last year. They're going to need to get something from those guys at some point. Now, it comes to usage and opportunities, but those guys just, this offense doesn't trust them enough to. Wanya Morris has more targets than Mecole Hardman does. Wanya Morris has more targets than Sky Moore has. Wanya Morris has as many targets as Juju Smith. If I had told you 3 weeks ago that Wanya Morris was going to have as many targets as Juju, Mecole, and Sky Moore combined, you would have called me crazy. That's what happened through the first 2 games of the season.
So this is something that is maybe an unpopular opinion I have, but it's not unique to me. I've heard Bink have this opinion, and this is a perfect conduit to have this conversation. A lot of people have been telling me, and you have also said it, this wide receiver room is different this year. It's better, it's deeper, blah, blah, blah. With Marquise Brown going down, the stats indicate that it's kind of similar to last season. Now, Rashee Rice is better than Rashee Rice of last year. So, okay, advantage 2024. But, and Xavier Worthy is more talented than Kadarius Toney. So, advantage 2024. But Juju Smith-Schuster, Sky Moore, Justin Watson smells eerily similar to Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Sky Moore again, and Justin Watson again. It has a similar feeling. I think it's better, but we talked all offseason about the depth and the quality. This show spent a lot of time talking about wide receiver 7. Nico Remigio was a hot topic in August because of just, they have so many wideouts. What are they going to do? And your stats would indicate that they're kind of so far this season. I'm willing to give a larger sample size. The same thing we talked about yesterday with Travis Kelce. It's a slow start. Let's see a larger, you know, quantity, a larger volume before we make any sweeping judgment. But two games in, Patrick Mahomes is throwing to Rashee Rice. End of wide receivers he's throwing to. I mean, he's thrown a little bit to Xavier Worthy, but basically none to Watson, basically none to Juju, and rightfully so, none to Sky Moore.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing, at least for me, is like who's going to kind of fulfill this role. So right now in targets, in terms of just passes thrown their direction, Rashee Rice is number one. I think at this point, Rashee Rice should be number one. Isaiah Pacheco was two, and Travis Kelce and Xavier Worthy were tied for three. I mean, those are now targets that are available. Who's going to be the person that gets those balls thrown their way? Is it going to be Samaje Perine? Is it going to be Carson Steele? Are you going to now give those opportunities to Juju Smith-Schuster and Sky Moore and those other guys? Because through the first 2 weeks of the season, Patrick Mahomes has more yards receiving than Juju Smith-Schuster. He has more yards receiving than Mecole Hardman. That should not be the case for a room that I think most people would agree is a little bit deeper and more complete than what they had a year ago. We're going to bounce back and forth between the Royals and the Chiefs. Let's get back to the Royals coming up on the other side. The Royals have an off day. They're two games up in the wild card race. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. I appreciate you guys listening and making us a part of your day. Rob, I don't know if funny is the correct term, but you know what the Royals really need right now? They really need a guy that you could put in the middle of the lineup, a guy that could hit for a little bit of power, a guy that could hit for extra bases, and a guy that could drive in runs right now. I'm thinking somebody that hits around 260, had about 130 hits this year, you know, a consistent run producer. This offense right now could really use Vinny Pasquantino. More than they could use an extra bullpen guy. More than they could use anything right now. What their offense is really missing is a key offensive contributor. If you want to go back and find where the turning point in their season has been, it was the loss of Vinny Pasquantino. And since then, they have been scrambling to try to figure it out. You remember, the Vinny Pasquantino injury happens. They go out there. They make three additions. Now, you pick up Tommy Pham, and that was a really nice addition, and this team really needed it. They were kind of scrambling to figure it out offensively, and no one is hot right now. Not even Bobby Witt Jr. We were having conversations about Bobby Witt being the MVP. Now, I'm not putting this on him. He had a grand slam in one of these games. If your best player hits a grand slam to put you up 4-0, he has done his contribution for the game. You need to figure out a way to win. But what this team really needs right now is, man, they need somebody that could drive in runs. We were talking about it earlier. This team just needs something. They need a spark. They need a complete game. They need a lights-out bullpen. They need a big hit from Bobby Witt Jr., a stolen base. Like, this team is missing a spark, a jolt of energy right now. That's exactly what they need. The person that used to kind of give you that jolt of energy is Vinny Pasquantino, and they don't have him right now. That's where this season started to go off the rails, was when he broke his thumb.
I agree they need a jolt. But I tell you that the Royals got a jolt this week, and they squandered it. Remember, we call Cole Reagans a stopper. It's a very common term, and he has been a stopper this season. He had a chance to stop the bleeding, so to speak, on Tuesday. Remember that Monday game you talked about, Bobby Witt Jr.? They blow it. He had the grand slam. They lose 7-6. Gut punch loss coming off a gut punch loss on Sunday on the road against the Pirates. They needed their stopper. They needed a jolt of life from their pitcher. Cole Reagans was incredible that night. He only gave up one run. He went, what, seven innings? He was mowing down Tigers hitters. That was the jolt. Hey, our starter picked us up. The saying in baseball is, you're only good as your next day starter. On that day, Cole Reagans gave you everything he had. You blew that one. You lost an extra innings 3-1 because you couldn't scratch a second run across. So I agree with you. This team needs a jolt. And a player like Pasquantino, I think, would provide that jolt and also would help this offense, which is floundering a little bit right now. But you talk about the team needing a something to come back to life right here in the home stretch. It feels like they had that moment for a great pitching performance and they squandered it. And now you got to find it again, whether it be from the fans or Bobby Witt getting back to being Bobby Witt. He's only hit like 230 over his last 10, 15 games. You got to find it, but they need something. Cause I think what I learned from Bob Nightingale today is I think fan panic and outside panic are not near the same, but I think those numbers will equalize if the Royals continue to struggle, because they do need just something to get back into the win column.
Yeah, we can get to the outside panic part. I want to give you guys the stat really quickly. So since Bobby Witt Jr. hit the grand slam, they have scored 5 runs in their last 25 innings. So I'm with you. Has Bobby Witt Jr. been the MVP? But I think most people knew he was playing at such a ridiculous pace there for about 2 months. You were not going to keep that up for a 100-game stretch. I mean, he came out of the All-Star break as hot as any player that we have ever seen before. So I don't know if the expectation was that he was going to continue to do that for the final 90 games of the year. I think the outside panic is coming from the math part of this, that the math is still very firmly in their favor. They are 90%. I looked on Pro Baseball Reference. They're 85.5%. I mean, they are still overwhelming favorites to make the postseason. But I think a lot of it is just, it's a feeling. And if over the course of the last 3 weeks, the Royals really haven't done much to kind of calm your fears. If you were worried about this team, and I think we all wanted to see the riptide and how they were going to get through that, and when they got to the riptide, they had, I mean, maybe the worst day they've had in 8 years. They had a chance to beat the Guardians. They didn't beat the Guardians, and then they lost their second best player with a broken thumb. So they went from having the best day of the season, where they won that doubleheader and won both of those games, to then the worst day that they've had this year, and now coming out on the other side. How are you going to handle September baseball? It's different. It's different. And we are seeing how the Royals are handling September baseball. Not good is the answer. But there is still time. I don't want to make it seem like this race is over. You were up 12 in the basketball game with 3 minutes to go. You're now up 4 with 3 minutes to go. You are still winning the game. Now, we've seen a lot of times where teams in that scenario play not to lose the game as opposed to win, and that ends up being the end of it too. But as we still sit, the Royals have the advantage. They have the advantage over Minnesota. They have the advantage over the Detroit Tigers. Do they keep it? It starts tomorrow. You got to figure out a way to win the series against the Giants. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. You have to figure out a way over these next 3 days. You just got to win 2 of these games. And on Monday, when we come back from the weekend, hopefully the Chiefs have a win and the Royals have won 2 of 3, and we are back aligned with where we need to be. But the Royals have made this thing way more uncomfortable than it was supposed to be. And they've done this on their own doing. Part of the frustration with all of this is They could have been the home team in the wild card conversation. Baltimore has left the door open. Baltimore has been almost as bad as the Royals have been down the stretch. That is not a team that's playing its best baseball right now. You had an opportunity to be the home team, and you squandered it over the course of it. But none of that matters now at this point. Can you figure out a way to win 5 of your next 9 games? If you figure out a way to do that, then nothing you've done over the last 3 weeks matter. You will get yourself out of it. You got one more test left. Almost all the work has been turned in. You have one more test left. You got to get a passing grade on the test. If you do that, you will pass the course. If not, the Royals are going to have a pretty epic collapse.
I would say the math definitely indicates they are going to not have the massive collapse. But I think it's interesting, and I mentioned earlier, the math is on the Royals' side. You said 85% at Baseball Reference, 90% at Fangraphs. Bob Nightingale, who's covered this sport for a long time, has his panic level at a 2 on a scale of 1 to 10. Why do you think that those sorts of things aren't, you know, squelching Royals fans' nerves? Because I would say right now, and the text line's not a perfect barometer, but the text line and social media are in not total meltdown, but we are nearing meltdown mode of, oh God, they're going to blow this. No.
They haven't played well. I mean, I just, that's
what
I said.
But the math still is overwhelmingly in their face. And I get they're not playing well, but I think Royals fans maybe are a little too in the weeds, for lack of a better term, with their own team and aren't looking around at the Orioles being mediocre. I'm looking right now in SportsCenter. The Twins lost again today. The Twins just keep losing.
Yeah, I think the difference is if you are a fan of Kansas City sports, if you are a slave to the math, then the Chiefs dynasty doesn't happen. The Chiefs dynasty, I mean, they were down 10 points with 8 minutes to go in the Super Bowl. The math tells you you lose that game. You won. So if there is any team, any fan base, any city that could say, well, I go more off feeling. I don't care what the computer says. The Chiefs are going to win this game. Back in 2014 and 2015, I don't care what win probability says. The Royals are going to figure it out. It's a lot based on feeling. When your kicker comes out of the huddle and it is a 42-yard kick, I don't care if he's made 90% of these before. You know how confident you feel in that kicker or your closer. That's where I think maybe the math and where Royals fans are. I think Royals fans have been kind of waiting to fully buy in for this team. And I do think there's some truth to it. You and I have been kind of pushing Royals fans to go out and support this team. Man, every time they have, the Royals have lost. When they've gotten those 31,000 people out there and people are excited, they lose 7-2 this week. This week, I think Kansas City showed up for you. They got 18,000 people for all 3 of these games. That's as good as you're going to do on a weekday in Kansas City in September. You're not getting 30,000 people out there. Let's be realistic. Royals fans went out there to support them today. They laid 3 eggs. They laid 3 eggs. So this is a Royals problem of, you can tell me what the math says. I know what I've seen from this team. And there is sort of roaring into the playoffs, and then there's limping into the playoffs. And even if the Royals do this, I guess they could just win the next 9 games and they'll be back on fire. But it doesn't feel like – it feels like the Royals are going to win or make the playoffs because there's not enough good teams to make the playoffs. That's how it feels right now, where it's not them playing their best baseball. I mean, the Orioles are 35-44 in their last 79 games. So I keep saying that team is winnable. You can get that team, but you got to get to that point. We got Thursday night football today between the Jets and the Patriots. We'll get you ready for it. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, I said we were going to talk about the Jets and the Patriots. I apologize, at least in the short term, that's not what we're going to do. This is why, and this is more important than that. Rob, what's your phone background? You know, you're married, lovely family. I've met your parents before. Great people. You have a dog. You're a big KU fan. I'm actually not sure what your phone background is. What is it?
My lock screen is me and my wife, and then my home screen is a photo of me and my family from the wedding.
So I imagine that that's what a lot of you have for your lock screen. You and your lady went on a trip. You and your kids. Maybe it's just your kids. You know, it's about you. Well, I'm here to tell you a story about a man named Dejon Anthony. Now, if you don't know who he is, that's perfectly fine. I didn't know who he was till about 3 minutes ago, and this is what derailed me. So, Dejon Anthony plays for the Cincinnati Bengals. And he alerted us that he has changed his phone background. Now, again, it is important to note that this man plays for the Cincinnati Bengals. Listen to what he has changed his lock screen to.
I honestly can't wait to see them. I got him as my one of my pitch lock screens right now, so I could see it every day. Both of them, yeah, because I can't wait to see them again.
It's on your what? It's on your
one of my lock screens on my phone. I got like a slideshow, and I could just click through like family members, and then they on there too.
They're family now, huh?
Yeah, no, they're not family, but. Yeah, I can't wait to see them again.
Did you chat with Kelsey at all? Was there any introductions or anything?
No, sir.
Have you done that before with the lock screen? Is that new? Or?
Yeah, like usually I do that like whenever we had a big bowl like last year against Ole Miss, they had Penn State teammates like talking on internet. So I screenshotted that post and put it on my lock screen so you don't forget it. Remember what you're doing it for.
What's going on, man? That's not weird to you? Like, there wasn't one player on the team to just tap you on the shoulder. Hey, big dog, hey, come, let me highlight you real quick. Yo, who's that on your phone? Oh, man, it's Patrick Mahomes, man. Why? Oh, man, I mean, I can't wait to see them boys again. Bro, you just got here. That's not even Ja'Marr Chase. That's not Joe Burrow. Did he just say he did that last year against Ole Miss? Bro, you just got here. The Chiefs own y'all, man. I don't know if we've ever seen anything like this before. This might be worse than what the Patriots had over somebody. Can you imagine being on Peyton Manning's team and you're walking around and your phone background is Tom Brady? Can you imagine that? Joe Burrow, you got to get a hold of your team, bro. This is terrible work from you. I blame this on you. You not being a leader. First around, you walking around, you're looking like Eminem in 01. That's number one. So you look goofy. You can't control your number one wide receiver. He's yelling at refs and getting key penalties. And now one of your players is walking around with the Travis Kelce background. That team will never win the Super Bowl, man. I can't believe I've supported the Bengals for as long as I've supported them. This is super sucker behavior from them. Patrick Mahomes is your background? You're a grown man. You're not related to Patrick Mahomes. That would make sense to me if that was the only people who should have Patrick Mahomes as their phone background is Britney. That's it. Nobody else. Yes, that includes if Patrick Mahomes is your phone ground back now, change it. That's real sucker behavior, bro. That's bad. That's real. That's real. Y'all always laugh at me about rent free. I ain't never had Bill Self as my phone background before. I've never had Thomas Robinson as my phone background. Sure, we might throw some jokes and go back and forth. I'm not opening my phone. You know how often you get on your phone every day? Every day I gotta look at the Jayhawk logo? Absolutely not. That's sick, bro. That's real sick work, man. Who you got tonight, Rob?
Jets minus the number, 6.5.
Taking the number?
Taking the number.
Okay.
Patriots in a short week? I don't believe in that team at all.
Yeah, I'm with you. Patriots on a short week. That's why I'm just like, yeah, I don't know about this one. All right. Hopefully you guys have a great evening. Be back tomorrow. So drive.